Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, the Thursday edition of, this will be the 2nd of August, 2018. The number to call, 434-1790, and the WhatsApp, 266-IVOB or 266-4862. In the studio with me is Mr. Dennis Johnson. He will be our producer. He'll be the person you will hear when you call. We'll be with you until 1 p.m. We'll take a break at 11 to go to the central bank's half-year review, and that's a review of the economy. Just a couple of things. Of course, we are waiting to hear what the governor has to say, but also a couple of things. I want to congratulate Mr. Shane Brathwaite. He got the gold yesterday, 2 days ago, actually, the medal. Actually, it was Sunday. Not Sunday. Yesterday, I'm feeling as though today is Monday. Believe it or not, the bank holiday did that. But yes, he was able to clock a pretty good number at 13.38 seconds in the 110-meter hurdles. So a big congratulations to Shane Brathwaite at the Central American and Caribbean Games. And yes, that was yesterday, and that's in the 110 hurdles. Another thing would be the garbage and sewage contribution, which took effect from the 1st of August, which is yesterday. And we would have noted in varying sections of the media, the Barbados Water Authority would have issued a notice highlighting what the potential invoice can look like for the customers. Then we had the issue relative to the Anglican Church and the not having a decision for the fourth such meeting after the 11th ballot. And then they will have made a decision to go to the House of Bishops, which is a part of their regulations. If they don't make that specific ballot and come with a result, then they're free to do it. And it has been done, I understand, with Bishop Draxel Gomez a number of years ago. So just those few things. And yes, the economy. So those will be four things. It is Down to Brass Tacks today, and I hope that you give us your calls. We have a rich discussion and see how best we can improve our Barbados and improve ourselves. My name is Lisa Gale, and it will be my pleasure to take you up until 1 p.m. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I am going to continue this church thing with you, but before I do that, I want to extend my deepest and heartfelt sympathy to the parents, relatives, and friends of Katrina Graham, who worked at SYL. And I had heard Dennis talking about the person's death. You know, you don't want nobody to die. Well, at least some people to die, because there are some people who shouldn't even be living. But, and if find some person that died today, you're going to wish that it won't be the person that you know. I happen to be passing SY on Friday night, and the owner saw me and told me he was hoping desperately that you would have come to the store. Katrina died. That young lady was like a daughter to me. One day she asked me, how many children do you have? I said, 5 daughters. She told me, I am no different. And then we had a father-daughter relationship. Words can't express. And then people would tell me that death fear.
That it is.
How death can be fear. Let me speak to you.
Every single one of us.
You've got people out there who would do up their best to help another person. And let me give you a simple scenario. You got a person who look out for their next door neighbor who is going through tough times. And you have another neighbor right next to the person you know, who try to make that person's life miserable. You know the person who tried the best to have that person would die, and the wicked person will live. And then people tell me it's God's will. God not kill nobody. They've got two forces on this earth, the forces of good and evil. Evil is there to destroy and disrupt. I don't have the answers. I don't think none of us have the answers. But this thing is like, I mean, when I received that news, I can't even respond to the first 2 minutes. And the owner of SY Adam, he can testify to what I'm saying. That was such a blessed person. Why? That's all I ask myself, why? And you got people who go to bed every night plotting to make people's lives miserable and getting it the next day to actually execute the plot. And one day, I don't want to say they live, they exist. They don't live. Next thing. I have said on occasions that people are always quick to criticize what people do, but they don't ever try to find out the reason why people do what they do. And everything a person does, there's always a reason. Even if the person crazy, there's always a reason. Now, there's a lady who tried desperately, went through, did all the things she had to do about getting her car back on the road. Did everything. Everything, Lisa. Made a call to licensing authority on Friday. Was told someone would be sent to inspect the car on Monday.
This is a car that was purchased?
No, it's a car that was off the road for engine repairs.
Okay.
She waited. No one came. She called and asked to speak to the individual who answered the phone, asked who is the person on the other line. They were told who was the person. You know what the response was? I had taken a call. No. I mean, if that woman, and this woman needs a car, she is in a job where she must have a car. If she were to go on a part of that county, run and go on, do what she got to do. Some police, and you can't blame the police, because the police only performing the duty. That person should be gotten rid of. I can't get these. I can't go on the friends, you know. I can't keep friends.
So what was your contention, that the person from licensing authority took too long to come to inspect the vehicle?
They were promised that the vehicle would be inspected on Monday. Sometimes they make a promise and something has come up. But to tell the person who answered the phone, who is it? I haven't found out who the person is. You're not taking a call. That is wrong. Next thing, no, this ain't involved the same person who, and Dennis would have heard me talk about this, who lives in the area that when she's exiting her driveway, her coming up on the main road is very, very dangerous. Very much so. I came on the radio for about it. I was told there were no traffic mirrors available. I said at the time, what they should have done is have contacted the person and let them know that no mirrors was available. I saw someone from that section on Friday. I mentioned it to them. You should hear the attitude. I don't care, I really care if that person speak to me ever again or not. And for me to have friends that go and be a hypocrite, I don't want none. All you need to do is the situation of not having mirrors still exists. All you need to do is to call the person. You have a file. Call the person. Tell them, well, ma'am, we are sorry, but no mirrors is in the island right now. That's all it takes. Why people have to treat people like this? So when they come in the corner program now, and they gonna talk about these people won't hate me. They don't care who hate me, Lisa. I gonna do what the Father put me on this earth to do. And I don't care whose toes I step on once I know what I'm doing is right. It don't be about me. I see things happening to people and they come on this program for to get it highlighted for those persons to get ease. All they took was a phone call. They have the woman's cell number, phone number, a work number.
Anything else?
Hello? I haven't got bothered to go through the short thing because they got a shortening program, but we will discuss that a later date. Don't think you get this. I don't think that I'm running.
Thank you.
Run. Bye. You have a nice day.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Talks. This is Down to Brass Talks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Miss Gill? Hello, is this Miss Lisa?
Yes, Lisa Gill speaking.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Yesterday I passed Basse and I saw the annual ritual of emancipation in progress.
Yes.
And then later I heard about comments of who should be made a national hero and who should not be made and so on.
Okay.
But what struck me is, what does this really mean to the plight of the average Barbadian citizen? Does this really mean anything? I mean, that has happened in the past, but we have serious problems that need to be addressed in this country. And the question is, are they being addressed? Are we getting enough information as to how these things are going to be addressed? For example, we had a clean sweep in the last elections, which was wonderful. It showed that Barbadians are not the same. In other words, before you can come and push things down Barbadians' throats and they will take it. But now, Barbadians have been listening to your programs. They have been using their own intelligence and they've making the decisions that they think are necessary to be made. But here it is. Having said that, we are still not getting to understand what is going to happen about those people who apparently have gone into hiding. We're talking about Clico, we're talking about Four Seasons, we're talking about Cahill, we're talking about the hotel, a long list of things that we need to have answers. And is it that Barbadians are supposed to sit back and wait till they are burdened with additional taxes and then be told, well, you know, things are bad, so we have to do this? What about those people who might have led us into this situation? What is going to become of this? Are we going to hear, well, we're going to sweep this under the table because if it happens to us, we'd expect the same thing? I'm just asking these questions because it's something that is bothering me. And I would just like to get some feedback from you if you thought these things cross your mind also and what your thoughts might be on them.
Okay, you're asking whether or not Emancipation Day or the celebration of Emancipation has any real impact on the average Barbadian, given what has taken place in the political sphere in Barbados in the last administration. That's the essence of what I gather your question
is. That is right.
And there are some of them, as you know, that are still allegations. The Attorney General was, in fact, very, very specific in his commentary when he led off the debate on the bill that was being discussed in Parliament at the time. And he said that there has been no specific piece of legislation that has been breached per se. And yes, we do have a lot of commentary about contracts. In fact, only last night I read a minister, a former minister, who cleared the air on a contract and suggested that the language used can construe wrongdoing on the part of the previous cabinet. And he sought to allay those fears to suggest that otherwise the contract would have been prepared well in advance of election day and a human resource report was requested, etc. So my response generally is, until there has been specific, hardcore evidence to suggest the level of wrongdoing that has been alleged, I don't have a specific opinion or I don't have a particular type of recourse. What I would say, though, that things that we have been led to believe over the years, and then to find out that they were in fact not accurate, is misleading on the part of any politician. And I would hope that these new ministers ensure that these allegations are not said of them during or after their posts and their time in office. That's what I would say as it relates to that. on the part of what does that emancipation mean to the average Barbadian as it relates to the celebration of that specific day. I think although the challenges that the country would have faced at the time, let's say 50 years ago and 100 years ago, while Barbados is in a different dispensation, it is still very important for cognizance to be brought to the issues that our ancestors would have faced, because it is very important for us as a people to, and the word isn't celebrate, but to commemorate the happenings that have gone in the past. And oftentimes you are a better human being when you can appreciate the past so that you can then look forward to better in the future, so you can vision future. And I don't think as a people, particularly Caribbean people, because when I travel to whether it's Latin America, North America, wherever I travel, they have a lot of monuments and they have a lot of days where they bring cognizance to specific happenings in their past. And because of that, just like how there's a Holocaust museum, there's a museum in so many of the countries that suffered at the hands of, you know, whether it's slavery or major genocide, there's always something for the persons who come after to see what took place and to get a running commentary of what happened. And I think us in the Caribbean and a lot of Blacks are not privy to that type of commemoration. And as a result, we do not recognize or value the work of our ancestors. And I would love to know that in my bloodline, that there was a great-great-great grandmother who stood her ground for something that benefits me 10 generations down the road. I would love to know that that's in my bloodline. But unfortunately, we only know 3 and 4 generations before us. And oftentimes there are some people who only know 2 generations above or even 1. So I think we have to do a better job at educating our generations, our people, about what took place in the past so that they can then appreciate, so that today, 2018, you can't ask the question, what does emancipation mean? Because emancipation will be very real to you to understand what went before you. That's my response.
Am I allowed a further comment?
Yes, you are.
We are running on slightly different tracks. I usually use emancipation, but I was not addressing that specifically. I just said, how far have we come? But I addressed specific things. I was talking about the lack of information on specific things. For instance, I didn't mention it, but we have a lethal obstruction on the roadside outside Coverley that was the subject of much discussion. That is a fact. It's things like those we want to get some answers. This is not hearsay. These are things that are staring us in the face. There was a dearth of information on the what was the true plight of the Hilton. Those are things we want to hear.
Okay, so then your first question, for which I took time to respond to,
yeah,
didn't bear relevance to the second part of your question.
Yes,
then.
Yes.
Okay. My response still remains. I still think that unless we have specific evidence to, I said it. I think I've said what I had to say on that.
The lack of information. The lack of information on these things. I'm sure there are people there who are still wondering what has become of this. For instance, the Cahill has just disappeared, like it never happened.
But wasn't it said that after the public outcry, the then administration made a change of heart on Cahill?
But there any residuals? Were there any penalties? Nothing. It just disappeared. Those are the things I meant. Forgive me for.
Have you reached? No. It's a legitimate question. Have you ever had any engagement with your current MP on that subject?
No, not really. Because the truth is, I haven't seen my current MP since the election. But okay, there's a little honeymoon period, so I don't mind that. But the other thing is the disappearance of some of our prominent politicians. Again, I think Barbadians will be asking about that. And I, you know, we had a situation.
When you said disappearance, you mean they're not in earshot, they're not in the press. But you must know that the press now would be looking for coverage from the existing ministers, as is the norm. I have seen over the last week, I have seen two past ministers in the press. Actually, yesterday, I was reading, and one former minister was on the back page, and another one was on the, I think it was the third page of one of the. So it isn't necessarily fair to say that they've fully dropped off, or that they've disappeared. But you wouldn't get the same level of coverage from the news media as you would have in the past. Isn't that a normal thing?
No, it's not really normal. I think that when you are at that high profile and people are asking what becomes of so and you see cartoons put up and all this, that is a legitimate question to ask. Really,
but they're not holding any office anymore, so...
No, I don't mean that. Can you say specifically where all the former ministers have gone? If I ask you, I'm not going to ask you specific ministers, but if I did ask you, you would not be able to...
I wouldn't know, because I don't fraternize with them, so I wouldn't know where they are.
That's the point. What I'm saying is, I'm just hoping that in future, we, you know, if there is, there was a C word, but I mean corruption, that was being talked about, and then suddenly you don't hear too much of that, and then suddenly you don't hear much commentary, you don't see people, mm-hmm. and you have to ask yourself, you know, what is happening, or what is going to happen? Okay. You know, is this the same thing going to happen with the next administration and the next administration next month? Anyhow, I just put this on the table to you, Ms. Lisa. I know you have a full day and you don't have much time in which to get through, so I wouldn't take up any more of your time. I just put those things on the table.
Thank you so much. This is Dr. Brastax.
A blessed good morning to you, Lisa.
Good morning to you as well, sir.
How are you?
Well, thanks.
This is your friend here, Mr. Harvey Culture.
Good.
How was your holiday yesterday?
It was an emancipated day. That should be an ing. Emancipating day.
Yeah, but I got up and I did some forking and I had a little meal and I went down to the historic grass in Savannah because yesterday was Derby Day. One of my favorite sports is horse racing. So I had a nice restful afternoon.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, I want to speak about this, the Clico issue, because it is still bothering a lot of my friends and one or two of my family still owe a lot of money. And I remember the former administration said that a new insurance company was setting up or was in the process of being set up, and they would pay the people that were owed as soon as possible. And I think that was mid last year. And we are now into August, heading down to December again, and I don't think a lot of people have seen a check or have gotten a call to come and collect any of their.
I have heard otherwise. I have heard that a number of persons made, a lot of people have been paid. So I'm not sure who you are specifically speaking to, but I would suggest that you get them to. I actually have to pull up the name of the.
I don't know the name of the company.
Of the entity, it was New Life Insurance,
uh-huh.
And there. I think I saw actually it was in April and May. May specifically, in April they gave notice, but May and June, a lot of persons had collections. So we are now the second day of August. You're saying that your friends have not received anything?
A lot of them are one or two of my family members.
And
well.
they're not familiar with the New Life Insurance?
Well, as I said, we know and we heard from the former government that this entity was being set up to settle the claims of the persons who have lost their money. But since then, you have not been hearing anything much.
Okay.
That's the point I'm making.
But my question specifically to you is, have they have not received, and
no,
they have sought out?
And yes, they have put out, and a lot of yes, please.
Okay.
That's the point I'm making. So there's still a lot of people out there that are still owed money, and a lot, and I'm going to be honest, a lot of people get sick and dead and go along, and they get sick back.
Okay.
So it is one of those things that I think is very, very unfair to persons, especially when the insurance personnel were saying, do not sell any more insurance. And also, maybe I got talking about two Barbados, and you know, it is unreasonable, Lisa, to treat people that have that work for the money, try to put it into something to get back something, and then you lose everything. That was simple, completely out of their minds. I know you would understand where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
So I would like that somebody, or the powers that be, come and. You know, I may be speaking you know, I may not know the full essence of what's happening. I can speak well to say that I know a lot of persons who are still owed money.
The what I would suggest to you is to you inform them to call Resolution Life.
Resolution. What's the name again?
Resolution Life.
Okay, I will. Now, Lisa, I want to speak on this bishop issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't go to church anymore. I used to go to church, but I find that you can stay at home and read the Bible and you can get a little spirit for yourself. Because I find that they have a lot of Sunday Christians. If you understand, when I say Sunday Christians, we pretend to be loving and caring and God-fearing people on a Sunday. And then from Monday to Saturday, we are animals and we are very aggressive and very dirty and very selfish towards people. So me personally, I cannot go into the house of the Lord to sit down on a Sunday and be pretensive with people that are going to be in the spirit and on that.
Answer your question about the bishop.
Lisa, don't go. Don't.
Ask your question about the bishop.
But Lisa, I know you can identify with what I'm going down. That's where you're
trying to. I tell you, ask your question about the bishop. You said you want to talk about the bishop, but then you've gone into how church people live or how other people live.
I'm just saying that to get across a message when I go down. I find it, listen, the last time this happened, we had to go to the house bishops in Bermuda, and there we had Drexel Gomez.
Yes.
But Lisa, why is it that we voted over and over? And then what message are we sending to young people? What message are we sending? And then
that
we
you follow due process. The reason why you raised that was because I got persons come. I want you to share your views first.
Yeah.
But the reason why you raise that is because you get people suggesting that it sends the wrong message,
right.
And then you get people saying, but we are following process.
Uh-huh.
So if Barbadians had gone to the polls and we were 15-15,
mm-hmm.
then we go to the Governor General.
Right. And we pick a... that would be a hangman.
Right.
You call
so
it.
In this scenario, one person got the majority from the laity, the other person got the majority from the clergy.
Right.
In an instance where there's a deadlock, the Anglican Constitution says you then go to the House of Bishops. So that's what happened.
But what I'm saying is, why are we, I keep it real. I am just looking at it from a layman's standpoint. I'm not an Anglican person, but we a society tend to look to the Catholic and the Anglican Church for leadership and advice.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying is you go now and you pick an Anglican bishop to cover Barbados. The body don't know nothing about Barbados. The body don't have any ties with none of the bishops or the reverends that are calling portfolios in the Anglican churches that are stretched.
And they will learn. Develop relationships and...
Yeah, but Lisa, why are we fighting down a young man called John Rogers? I have nothing against the Mr. Gibson from the St. Michael's Cathedral,
mm-hmm.
but I have went to funerals and I have went at St. Jude's while he was the reverend there, and on the later stage now he's the reverend at St. George Parish Church.
Mm-hmm.
This man is an intelligent, articulate man.
Just like the other gentleman.
Yeah, I know that, but why can't Dr. Rufus Broons and John Holder and them, the big heads, sit down. Leave out the RFO people. Sit down and say, let between the former bishops and the big people up at Carsington College,
mm-hmm.
pick a bishop from Barbados.
But I'm glad that this process is the way it is. You know why I'm glad that this process is the way it is? Because you wouldn't get any hand-me-downs from anybody deciding who... They decide they can go with the vote. And if I have a vote and I'm from the laity, I want to be able to exercise my right, don't you think?
I understand all of that. But don't miss my...
I hear you, you know, and I hear you, and I feel what you're saying. And I think in the public's eyes, it does send the wrong message that, you know, here are these people in the church can't seem to get their act together.
Exactly.
It does have that suggestion, but I really want you to talk as well about the process.
Mm-hmm.
What about the process which says, you do this, you do this. If this doesn't work, then you do this. So that's where they are. Unfortunately, they failed to elect the replacement. But that's, you know, Mr. John Holder will have to hold on a little longer. He thought he would have been retired already. Actually, he is. But
let me do something. I'm saying that a lot of people walk in the rear from the church because a lot of the decisions that are being made are leaving a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouth. So when you go and do something like this again, when the majority, I'm telling you, because I have a relative who is an Anglican reverend. And you don't afraid to call his name.
Don't call his name.
He's over Saint Thomas.
Anyway,
but what I'm saying is, Lisa, mm-hmm. as leaders, I'm sending a message about God and young people that are coming along. I don't like this law in house fighting, and I read it.
But listen to me, and listen to me very carefully.
Yes.
The commentary that I have read from the persons who spoke on behalf of the Anglican Church suggests that this does not mean it is infighting. This just simply means that the laity and the clergy have two different perspectives on who they want to lead them, and they are following the due process.
Yeah, but
from our eyes who are looking on, those persons on the outside assume that it suggests there's a division, and there are people who are seeing it as a division, but the others are saying no.
Yeah,
but
let me do something. I have a lot of Anglican friends. That's why I'm saying to you, from Christchurch to St. Lucy to St. Philip.
People could talk, but the persons who have the voting rights are the ones whose privilege have been exercised, and that's how we came to this conclusion.
But I still feel that it's unfair. I still feel that once you are a member of the Anglican Church, even sitting down in the pews and taking communion, you should be able to execute your right to vote for the bishop that you want and elect that bishop to. Don't go to no house of bishops to bring somebody that they don't hold.
But they are part of the process.
But I don't think that is right. That is the point I'm making.
That's all right. I thank you, though, for your commentary. This is Dr. Brastat.